Well, we have today a significant day. We're going to hear the message from continuing in our study of 1 Samuel. And after that, we're going to have celebrate communion and then baptize two adults and receive into membership a number of other people. And it's a significant day in the life of the church when we celebrate what God is doing to bring people into the kingdom. And towards that end, let's look at today's lesson, because David is in a situation where he finds himself in a big battle. You know the story of David and Goliath. We learned about it even from childhood, and it's a favorite for people because it serves as a metaphor. Each of us have Goliaths in our life. I've been asking around this last week, what are some Goliaths that people are facing? Loris, who is a dear friend of this congregation, a longtime servant, she's got a battle on her hands that she does not anticipate that she will survive. But when I was with her, I, recognizing that that she has this, she anticipates her passing very soon, within days, I said, well, let me ask you, Loris, this important question. Do you know for certain that when the worst happens, when you do pass away, that you are going to be with the Lord? And she broke out in a great smile of shining teeth and grinning eyes, and she said, yes, I know. And I said, well, are you ready to go now? And she said, no. I said, well, tell me about that. And she says, well, I feel like I have some things I still need to tell my children. And isn't that how parents feel, that that we want to prepare for them? We have other Goliaths. Health issues are for a number of people, financial issues. I read the other day that if the average American had to write a $400 check, they would have to borrow the money to do so, that they don't have those kind of resources, that many of us live paycheck to paycheck. And I also read recently that the FBI has over 1,000 investigations going on right now with ISIS groups in the United States, and that they have prevented some 67 attacks in just the last year. We have other threats, monsters, giants in our life. Some are related to addictions, some are relationships, some are things in the past or fears in the future. I remember as a youngster when I was, I would go to bed at night and there would be a familiar monster that would rise up out of my dreams. And this monster would chase me, and it was big, and it was threatening, and it was catching up to me, and my legs couldn't move fast enough. They were stuck. And I dreaded to go to bed at nighttime. I resisted falling asleep because this monster would come up. And then one time, after quite a few weeks of this monster coming up, I decided to risk it all. And I, when the monster rose up, I planted my feet. I turned around in my dreams, and I smacked it in the face, knowing full well it would kill me in my dreams, but it disappeared from then on. It never occurred again. And that served as a life lesson to me, that sometimes we need to lean into our fears, go into our fears, and deal with them there. Well, David is finding himself in a situation that he doesn't know is going to occur. He walks into a situation that is someone else's battle and it becomes his battle. Look in, if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of 1 Samuel and chapter 17. Last week, we looked at chapters 15 and 16 where David, the eighth son of Jesse, who's out in the field taking care of a bunch of sheep, is summoned and is anointed as the future king of Israel. But it would be years before he would actually take the throne. And even now, he has, in the story, he has been taking care of sheep, and his father, Jesse, is concerned about the three eldest sons who are in the army of King Saul. And so he summons David, and he says, take these bars of cheese and this bread and take it to your sons, your brothers, and find out how they're doing. And when he arrives at the scene of the battle, he sees the Israelis on one hillside and the Philistines on the other hillside, and they would come together in battle in the valley. And after quite a few weeks of this head-banging approach, there was quite a bit of loss and attrition, and they had this idea among themselves, how about if, rather than all of us just continuing in this madness, how about if you guys select a person, you select a person, and those two battle it out, and whoever wins takes over? Well, there's a certain amount of wisdom in that. I suspect we would get in a lot fewer wars if the leaders of the countries would decide to battle it out themselves rather than sending, our young men and women into harm's way. So he sends, the Philistines put up this guy named Goliath, and the passage says that he is what we would call a weapon of mass destruction. He's a human freak. He's a giant of a man. He's heavily armored. He's skilled in the ways of battle. He's been a professional soldier for a long time. And even the special forces for King Saul are just frightened at the sight of this giant. Now, all of these soldiers who are with King Saul, these are not farmer citizen soldiers. These are trained warriors who are skilled in the arts of battle and war and killing. And they find that this threat is frightening to them. Well, so David walks into this situation loaded with, groceries for his three elder sons. And in the conversations that he's having with the soldiers, he finds out about Goliath, and he has a different take on this threat that is facing the Israelis. The Israelis were just frightened of this guy. David, you could say he was naive. You could say that he was inexperienced. He's untrained, certainly. He's not a warrior. He's a kid. He's a boy. And he is, you could dismiss his bravado and his exuberance and dismiss him out of hand. But what happens is that he begins challenging their perception. And he says, this guy is a Philistine, and he has defined the armies of God, and I can defeat him. I can overcome him. And his brothers really begin to ridicule him. Have you ever done something where you are well-motivated and you're pursuing a project, and then people start chipping away at your motivations? They say, you're just doing this for your own glory. You're doing this to get attention to yourself. When you know in your own heart that you are following God in this certain matter. Well, David is, he goes before the king. He finds his way before King Saul. And King Saul begins to dismiss him, and David says, you know, this guy is no different than the battles that I have fought before. Now, if you would like to know what your future is going to be like, I can tell you that there have been incidences in your past that foretold what you would be facing and dealing with in the future. And David says, you know, King, I can take this guy on because when I was a shepherd, I was out in the fields alone at night. I had to protect the sheep, had to take care of them. And one day a lion came up there and I grabbed him by the beard. I don't know. That's close fighting, when you grab a lion by the beard. And this lion had a lamb in its mouth, and he said he killed the lion, took the lamb out. And another time, a bear came up, and, you know, and he killed the bear. And because of his experiences in the past, he knew what he was going to have to do with Goliath. And so, folks, the battles that you're in right now, look in the past. And you can have confidence of the battles that you're dealing with, that you're going to get through them because you've already had some earlier experiences with your own lions and your own bears. And so David, the king says, okay, well, we gotta armor you up. And he, as you know, in the story, he puts a bunch of equipment on him that is unfamiliar. And David, says, you know, I really need to be myself. I need to go out there and deal with this guy in the ways that I know how to deal with him. And so he picks up 5 stones from a creek side, puts it in a sling, and when he comes up to Goliath, it would be more like this, Goliath is cursing, threatening, maligning this kid that's come out and is rather insulted that this boy would be put up by the Israelis as the challenger for Goliath. And yet it was a low-tech method that brought down this Goliath. You know, I see just, I can't help but think that Goliath represents America in a lot of ways, in that America is armored up, it is... you know, it is powerful. Nobody is going to take on America in a frontal attack. But there are these low-tech solutions that very creative adversaries of America have developed that can threaten us. We saw that happen on 9/11 when Saudi Arabians took over some airplanes with regular old box cutters. And they took these airplanes and slammed them into the World Trade Center. Well, often it is a low-tech method that that is a solution to the different monsters that you and I have to face. David overcomes Goliath, plants a stone right in a vulnerable part of Goliath's head, and then, David does what has become tradition. He cuts off the head of Goliath. What I see ISIS doing nowadays on the battlefield has been going on for thousands of years. It is just how that region, that area of the world deals with the enemies. It cuts off the heads of people. Well, you and I are going into situations where the monsters threaten us. And I want to encourage you, when you are facing a monster, look backwards. Look in your history, how God has blessed you, has helped you through different situations like that. You, as a congregation, have faced these giants in the past when you took over the porno club. And you had to suffer for 2 or 3 years with the shame of that. You took it on. When you built the 2 towers, senior towers, or towers next door, those were enormous projects. You've done that in the past. And I suspect that in the future, God is going to be continue to give us projects that are going to challenge us and even try to stimulate fear. And yet you and I, as a congregation, as a body of Christ, as a community of faith, we're going to be going together and facing these different Goliaths. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I'm so very thankful that your Holy Spirit is with us today. Your Holy Spirit gives us power, gives us courage, reminds us of the truth, tells us our identity, gives us a vision for the future. You tell us how to control our lower impulses. You give us power to deal with people who are unlike us and who are unlikable. And Lord, I'm asking that you would continue to fill this congregation with your Holy Spirit to take on the Goliaths that it will face as a body, and that your Holy Spirit will be with us as we face the Goliaths in our own life, and that we're not facing them alone, but we're going down the road together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.